This week's parsha is a double parsha. We have Tazria and Metzora, which deal primarily with the laws of Tzaras with biblical leprosy. And I think in a previous year, we talked about the different people in Tanakh who received leprosy and what perhaps is the message, the takeaway for the reasons why they received the leprosy. I want to do this year's focus on one very specific detail that's presented in the Parshios. And what is interesting is that there's many details, right? There's so many specifics, points, and different types of leprosy, and different types of appearances, and coloring, and there's lots of rules and lots of regulations. And it's always important to point out that Chazal, we certainly generally assume that the tzaras that the Torah describes is not something which is a disease, a physical disease, but rather is something spiritual. And that's why you didn't show this to a doctor, but rather it was taken to a kohen. And a Kohen would analyze the skin and would make the determination. And we'll see, we'll discuss it, and maybe some one of the messages were of this Tzaras. So the specific detail I want to focus on is something that is very perplexing. It's something that the Mefarshim have a lot of trouble trying to understand. Because just after the Torah talks about, you know, these different shades of whites and colors on the skin and the hair, if the hair is turned to a white, a dark color, the Torah tells us, and this is in Parshas Tazria, in the second Aliyah, it's in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis. The Torah says in Paroch Tifrach Hatzaras Baor, if the leprosy has spread throughout the body. It's not just in one little area now of the skin, on the hand, on the arm, but it's now spread literally throughout the body. The entire skin is now, of the body is now afflicted. Literally from the head to the feet. The entire body, the color of the skin has turned. There's saras everywhere. As far as the eye is that the coin can see, throughout the body is tzaras. So without going forward, you know, you would say that this is a super duper tzaras. This is major tzaras. This is you know, you thought that you had problems, you know, you thought we'd have to isolate you for 7 days, 14 days. You may be isolated for 7 weeks, 14 weeks, months, years, who knows? What happens in this scenario? Bara Kohen, again, the Kohen is always the one who takes a look. If indeed that the tzaras is spread throughout the body, it's all over the entire skin. The TRS Hanaga, the Kohen will declare that it is Tahor. The person is pure. Kulo afach lavan, it is all turned to white. Tahor, it is Tahor, person is pure. Now, everyone cites the Rabbeinu Bachya, who immediately says that this is totally unexplainable, that this makes absolutely no sense. If you have a tzaras in a little part of your body, you could be tameh, you have to be sent out of the camp for a specific period of time, there's an entire purification process. And yet all of a sudden, if it spreads throughout the body and the entire skin is now turned white, you're tar, you're pure, everything's okay. Says there being a bach, it's a chok. It's one of the laws in the Torah that we just don't understand. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for it. It's you know, it's one of God's decrees, and it is what it is, and we accept it. But in order to understand it, it's beyond our comprehension. That's Rabbeinu Bachaye. So if that's the case, okay, we can end the shiur right here. Here's a detail on the laws of Tzaras that is very unusual, very strange, but there's no way of understanding it. And okay, you know, you deal with it. Ibn Ezra, however, suggests something to explain what's happening here. Ibn Ezra says, "Betira sanega." Why is this affliction that it spreads throughout the body? Why is it pure? Why is everything okay? Says Ibn Ezra, "Ki kvar yatsa hanaga kulo lachutz musarbi menu." You know, sometimes the doctors, when someone is not well, they say, they tell you that, "I think you're going to be okay, but you should just be aware that it's going to get worse before it gets better." All right, it's going to get worse before it. So that's always lovely news when you hear that. Like I remember when our son Moshe was sick in the hospitals, this respiratory disease. Remember the doctor said it's going to get worse, but it'll be okay. And it got worse. But sometimes when it gets to that worst spot, like once it reaches that, then everything quickly turns good. Right? It's sort of like when you're at the pinnacle, the height of the fever, and then also you start shaking, right? You start having the chills. So that's like, you know, you're feeling terrible. But that's when that's when the fever is leaving the body, right? It's actually a good sign when you get to that real terrible state of sickness, because that's when it's now begins to exit. And so in a similar vein, that's what the Ibn Ezra says, that when it's just a little spot on the body, then it's bad. Then you can be declared tame. But when it spreads throughout, so that's a sign that it's now about to leave, that the worst is over, that you're now heading in the right direction. And I think you just can expand upon the Ibn Ezra's suggestion that it's sort of a sign, you know, that's, you know, sometimes we, as says in Mishlei, right, that sometimes you fall, that the tzaddik will fall seven times, but then you'll get back up. That like sometimes it has to get really bad, that whatever the mistakes are that the person made, we generally assume it has to do with lashon hara, gossip that the person spoke. We talked about last year, the Gemara, based upon the psukim of people in Tanakh who received tzaras, they have to do with gava, with haughtiness, with people thinking too much of themselves, people getting angry and things of that nature, that sometimes, you know, you really fall. And sometimes you make a lot of mistakes. But it's at those moments, sometimes we can then turn things around. Right? So sometimes they say with the addict, that sometimes the addict has to hit rock bottom, and they realize that that's it. Right, the only possibility here now is to turn this off around. Right, there's nowhere lower I can go. The only lower I can go, I'm not here in this world anymore. At that point, as they realize it, now is the time to make the turn. So it could be in a similar vein with the person as Taras, that, you know, once it's the entire body has now become afflicted, at that point now things can begin to shift gears. At this point, the person perhaps has gotten the message, and at this point, there's the process for redemption, for the process for repairing what needs to be fixed can now begin, and we can now declare the person Torah. The person now is now pure. So that's a very interesting approach of the Ibn Ezra. What I'd like to do is to share one final approach. Again, the Ben Bacha says we don't understand this. The Ibn Ezra says that it means you hit rock bottom and now you can only go forward now, and now you're going to be in a good place. But then there's one additional approach that I saw, and that, as I've been sharing with you this entire year, some various different approaches in the Chumash from the Netziv, I saw something very beautiful and powerful that the Netziv suggests. So he points out, he says, Din hazeh hu chok. All right, on the surface, this is a chok. This is something that we cannot understand. All right, it doesn't seem to make any sense. You would think just the opposite. It spreads throughout the body. If you weren't tummy before, you for sure are tummy now. How can you be tar? How can you be declared clean under such circumstances? Chok shia pricha bekulo. Right, the entire body, it's now spread throughout the body. How can you be declared tahor? Nonetheless, as Mikol Malkom Remez Amikra Tamo Betzido. But nonetheless, if you pay close attention, sometimes you can see a very powerful lesson. So he points out that there's a word missing here appears, I think, almost in every other context where a nega, where a sign of leprosy appears on the skin that does not appear in this context. In other words, he points out, Tchsiv, Betiras Anaga, the Torah says, what happens when this leprosy spreads throughout the body? So if a Tiras Anaga will be declared, it will be determined that it's pure, it's Torah, it's okay. But one second, points in the Tziv. You have to be a careful reader of the text to have made this observation that he makes. He says, "V'loksiv v'tiaro ha-kohen." It doesn't say that the kohen will declare a tahor. In other words, what he's pointing out is in almost every other situation, you know, the way the Torah always describes the process of determining the you know, what the status is of the of this affliction that the person sees on their skin, it's always Baroa Kohen, that the Kohen will see it, Vitimio so, and the Kohen will say that it's Tame. Baroa Kohen. It's always the Kohen. Here it leaves out the Kohen. It says instead it says, but just Vitiar, it's if you see it throughout, you just know it's Tar. It's like you don't even need the coin to tell you at that point. And that's, you know, why not? And every other time I need the coin to make it a final determination. You know, as the coin sees, the Torah sees that it spreads throughout the body, but it never says the coin declares him tahor. It just says he will be, that the coin declares him tahor, pure. It just says he will be pure. So Ella says in the Tziv, it's hinting to you a reason for this. Let me just skip a few lines. He quotes a pasuk in Eov. It says, "Vayagel aznam lemusar vayomer ki yishuvun me'avon." That the pasuk says that the people need to pay attention when Musar is being given, when you're being encouraged to repent, when you're being encouraged to change your ways, you have to tilt your ear. You have to pay close attention. You have to take in the message. You have to absorb what's being shared with you. And that's the key to understanding tzaras, that this tzaras is a message. That's being shared. But the mashmos for yagal ozon, the message of turning your ear, that yisurim einim boyim bechose kol kach elikish kimedab yagal ozon. The point of this leprosy is for the person to take heed and to recognize that there's a problem here, that you've done something wrong. Shiyada yada shemalov, but yashav alibo. The goal is for a person to do teshuvah. Again, let's say the person spoke Lashon Hara. The person was too haughty. The person committed some sort of violation. And God sends a message to you that appears on your body, or that we learn later on that can also appear on the skin, it can also appear on the clothing or on a house. And the point is to reflect upon that message. The kanu kumokeinu mlshono saruch lashon hara kadoma vados mevian tzaras. Again, the person did something that causes the tzaras to come. And bayim simani tuma, these signs of impurity have come. The galus ozno to reveal to him shiyoshov, that he should repent. And if you repent, virapilo, he'll be healed. Alkain, he says, in this specific situation, when it spreads throughout the body, avon parcha bekulo, if it spreads throughout, ain't sarach ol yisraya. There's no more need to hint to him. Sharei kfar yisuru v'zumos yadua l'kol. Alkein v'tiras anaga, lo shadam tar v'ain sarach kapara, el hepech shu, o sheino bar musar v'shuv ain latame anaga. A fascinating idea. He says, normally when a person would get saras, who would see this saras? The person would see, they'd see something, again, the way Chazal understand, although in the Torah, it's the way the Torah presents these two parshios that we're going to read, first about talks about saras on the body, then it talks about saras on the on clothing, and then on the house. The Gemara actually says it happened in the opposite fashion. If a person committed one of these violations, the first place that it would appear is in the home. Why in the home? Because that's private. That no one else needed to know, you know, your faults and your mistakes and the fact that, you know, you committed a wrong. God was sending you a private message. You would see, you know, privately within your home. And if you wouldn't get the message, you wouldn't do teshuvah, so then you put it on your clothing. Well, it's on your clothing, you know, you can hide it. You know, you can wrap another piece of clothing around it. And then if you still didn't get the message, it would appear on your skin. Now, when it appears on your skin, so that's a little bit more difficult, right? So, especially, let's say, it appears on your hand, and people see your hands, and maybe you could put a glove on. The point was, is that it became more and more revealed. It was brought out in the open to try to send you a stronger message. But ultimately, suggesting the tziv is that you could always hide it from the public. There always was a way to, you know, cover it up. And you would privately show it to the Kohen, and the Kohen would make the determination. But the goal was that God was trying to help you out. You know, Saras was not so much a punishment, but a warning. It was a divine sign that you needed to change your ways, that you need to repair some aspect of your personality, your behavior, your actions, and the Kohen would be called to probably say, you know, Mr. So and So, this is a divine message that God is sending. It's time to do teshuva. But what would happen is if the person would still not take heed of the message, at that point it would spread throughout the body. And basically at that point, it would be, the message would be clear at that point. You know, you couldn't, anytime you walked down in the public, people would see that you had saras. It was everywhere, all over your body. You couldn't hide it from anyone. And at that point, doesn't say, you wouldn't need the Kohen to declare a tameh. Because you would know. You would know that you were in the wrong. And at that point, on some level, you weren't interested in making changes. In other words, the whole process of becoming Tameh was for you to introspect and to reflect and to exit the camp and to really think about your life and your priorities and who you are and what has happened to you and to make amends. But if you're beyond repair, so you're tar. We can't help you because you're not willing to help yourself. And therefore, it's not a good, you think, says in itself, you think by declaring him Tahor that that's a good thing? Like if that's what the Ibn Ezra says. That means, you know, again, it's about to leave. It means it's gone through your body and it's about to leave. Since it's just the opposite. It means Gornish Holfen, there's no way to help you anymore. You haven't heeded the message, and then okay, you're tar. You're tar in the sense that you're not going to fix yourself. You're not going to make things better. And it's interesting, you know, that I saw that the Sforno. The Sforno points out that, you know, at the end of the day, that is what the point of Saras, which we don't have anymore, right? We don't have this notion of Saras. He says, the point. We don't have saras because we're not worthy of having saras. Right? Saras was a kindness from God. It was God like tapping you on your shoulder, you know, or tapping your house, or tapping, you know, striking your clothing, your body, saying, you know, you need to change. I want you to be better. I've seen you've made these mistakes, and you know, repair yourself, make amends before you continue to spiral downward. The Sforno adds, he says that the quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that in truth, you know, the whole notion of a saras in the house, it never really happened. There never was such a thing because we never were worthy of it. We never really were worthy of this such direct divine intervention, right? And people always say, you know, God, if you exist or that if I should do this, you know, lightning strike in front of me. Well, that never happens. Why not? Because we're not deserving of having such divine intervention. You know, if God, you know, is constantly tapping us on our shoulders and speaking to us, telling us what to do. We got to figure it out ourselves. And Saras was supposed to be that tapping of the shoulder. It was supposed to be that encouragement. And it was supposed to be helpful to make us make proper amends. And the worst it could be is if it was all over your body. Because it was all over your body, that meant that you weren't willing to listen to God. You weren't willing to heed the message. And you weren't willing to make changes in your life. And I just wanted to maybe jump to one final point put this all together. There's a very fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin. The end of Sanhedrin, a lot of the Gemara taught in Perek Chelek talks about Mashiach, all about different things that are going to occur, going to be happening before the arrival of Mashiach. And we may be familiar, there's a very important machlokas in that Gemara in Sanhedrin as to why will Mashiach arrive? Will be the final impetus that will allow Mashiach to come? So one school of thought is that we'll do teshuva, that the entire Jewish people will repent, we'll all be holy, we'll be learning Torah all the time, we'll be doing mitzvos, chesed, unbelievable. And so we'll be deserving of the arrival of Mashiach. The other approach, unfortunately, is benapachu, just the opposite. That it will be so bad, will be so sinful, that at that point, like, if God is bringing Mashiach then, it's over for us. And an act of kindness, God will bring Mashiach at that moment. And so fascinating, when the Gemara cites this opinion, look at the pasuk that it quotes. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak." This is in Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph 97a. Ein ben David ba, the son of David, right? Mashiach will not arrive ad shetishapech kol hamalchus l'minas, until the entire kingdom, until the entire Jewish people are involved in heresy. Can you believe that? Mashiach will arrive when we're all sinning. Wow, that sounds wonderful. How does he know that? Amar Rava, Rabbi Yitzchak, where do you get that from? That sounds absurd. That we're all sinning, that's when Mashiach's going to arrive? What's the pasuk? You know what the pasuk is? Kulo hafach lavan taharhu. When everything has turned white, that's when you're tahar. This pasuk. Right, when it is all turned white, at that point it is pure. Now, how do you understand that? That you could understand that through the Ibn Ezra, that when we hit rock bottom, that means at that point we're going to recognize that now's the time to come back to God. Because it's going to take us, it's going to be necessary for us to be so bad that we're going to at that point realize how far we have fallen, how far we have drifted, how far we have distanced ourselves from God, that now we have no choice, and we have now have the clarity of understanding that now we need to make our way back. And we have that recognition, that's when Mashiach is going to come to hold our hands and to bring us back. So you can understand that I believe very beautifully through the Ibn Ezra's approach. That we're going to have to hit rock bottom to recognize that now's the time to come back. But there's another Gemara also in Sanhedrin, just another page later, at Sadi Ches Amid Beis, that perhaps has a little different message, more in line with the Netziv. Again, the Netziv who says that there's at this point, like, there's sort of like no hope, right? It got so bad that we're not going to fix ourselves. So the Gemara here asks the question, wonders, what's Mashiach's name? What's the name of Mashiach? So when whatever generation you live in, you can look in the phone book, and if you see his name, you say, oh, great, Mashiach's going to show up. I see him in the phone book. He's around. He's alive in my time. Okay, great, he's coming. So the Gemara has all these different suggestions. Yinon, Hanina, Menachem, all these different names, and all these names have different connotations and messages. But then there's one opinion, the Rabbanon, what do the rabbis say? What is the name of Mashiach? Right, drum roll, name of Mashiach? Chivara. De Rabbi Shemo. His name is Chivar. What does Chivara mean? Says Rashi, Mitzora. His name is Mitzora. His name is a leper. He's called a leper. He's a Mitzora. And it quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Shenemar Achen Chalayenu Hu Nasa Machovenu Svalam Anachnu Chashavnu Agua Muke Elokim Muuna. Indeed, it was our diseases that he bore and our pains that he endured, whereas we consider him plagued, smitten by God, and afflicted. In other words, that the Mashiach has tzaras. He's completely afflicted with tzaras. And that, what I want to suggest is that it's going to get bad. Right? It's going to be that not only is there going to be a little affliction on our house and on our clothing and on us, maybe on our hand or arm, but maybe it's going to be the entire body. And unlike with an Nitziv says that at that point, you know, there's no more, that's it. We're not coming back. We're too far gone. We're not interested in hearing God's message. Well, maybe when the point of Mashiach is that we will finally get the message that we will see the tzaras that's upon our body. We will recognize that we become so distant. We'll understand that now is the time to return. It's at that moment that Mashiach will lift us up and will show us the way back. It's at the part where we cry out and we understand that that we've allowed ourselves to become so distant from God, that at that moment there'll be an awakening, and there'll be the desire to reconnect and to make the proper amends and to repair what needs fixing. It's at that moment that v'taru, that we can be declared tahor. That we can be declared pure. It's not a pleasant process, right? It means that we've really fallen, that we've really made mistakes. But the hope is not lost, right? It's not like it's there's no longer any possibility. And again, maybe on some level, you know, it's not that God is gonna be helping us. But we're going to help ourselves, right? Mashiach is a human being, and that we ourselves are going to recognize that now is the time to come back. We're going to see that our actions, think about where it's taken us, where it's brought us, and we're going to realize that it's we thought we were doing was beneficial, helpful, enjoyable, pleasurable, whatever it is. We're going to realize how foolish we were. And at that moment, we're then going to then seek the truth and seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so, from these two little psukim, smack in the middle of Tazria, I think you see these very beautiful and profound messages that are there. That this notion that, again, whether you take the Ibn Ezra's approach or the Nitziv's approach, whether it's a sign that you can't go any you can't go any worse, and now it's time to get better, or at the point that God's not going to send us any messages anymore, but it'll be apparent to us. We'll now fully see, and everyone will see upon us. It'll be obvious to everyone how far we've gone and we've drifted. But at that point, then we'll get the message. At that point, we'll then understand, and we'll be able to make the turn. And the Mashiach, who himself is the Mitzora, right? Who himself is the afflicted one, and himself is the one who recognizes that now's the time to come back. So that one will lead up will lead us. Right? It's not necessarily like the biggest tzaddik, the person who's born at tzaddik, lived at tzaddik. Right? It might be someone who maybe drifted away, but it was someone who was the Baal Teshuva. Right? It was the person who returns. The person who realized you can return no matter how far you have fallen. Like that will be the person to like awaken us and to show us that we're full of tzaras all over. But will show us that there's a way back. That there's a possibility of returning. Not all is lost. That in fact we can be declared tahor. We can be declared pure. But it's up to us now, right? The Kohen can't help us. God's not sending any more messages, but we are on our own. We can take the initiative. We can take the steps, and that can bring about the ultimate geula, the ultimate redemption. All right, let's hope we take this message to heart and to recognize that it's not too late. It's never too late. There's always a way back. All right, have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.